you should say sorry if you broke your friend's favorite toy. You say sorry if you changed the channel and the channel is just on with your friend's favorite on the channel.
Oh, the wisdom of children. Even as adults, we don't always apologize when we break a friend's toy or change the channel without asking first. And you know what? If we do say we're sorry, we probably don't mean it. And that causes even more pain. So, what do we teach our children about apologizing? Well, consider how it would look to you if you were a child. Suppose you get in a fight with the kid next door. Mom finds out. She marches you right over to the neighbor's house and forces you to apologize. You say, sorry. But Mom says, say it like you mean it. And so you manage to utter a suitable, I'm sorry. Psychologist Robert Caron, the author of The Forgiving Self, says a forced apology just makes the problem worse.
Forgiveness gets devalued and becomes a rote experience for a lot of people, partly because anger gets devalued as well, or not devalued so much as demonized, so that you're not allowed to have your anger, to work with it, to express it. And sometimes kids really need to express their anger a lot at their parents, at their friends. And, you know, you see two kids screaming at each other in the playground. It's not necessarily a bad thing.
What I guess I'm wondering, thinking about that situation, though, is that if you really are angry at the other kid, you've listened to your parents, you know that it's not good to feel that kind of anger permanently. But how do you go about getting from there to really feeling sorry about what you've done and maybe more important, expressing that feeling of being sorry?
Well, I think for both kids and adults, in order to really forgive, we have to have it out with each other. You learn about that in childhood. You learn that, you know, wow, you know, I was so angry at him a half hour ago, and I was screaming at him and telling him I hated him and never wanted to be his friend again, and he couldn't come to my house, and I was never going to go to his house. And, hey, we're playing like it never happened. And I think you'll learn from experiences like that that, you know, anger is something that you can get over, that it doesn't have to turn to bitterness and resentment, that you don't have to keep somebody in the doghouse. When you're not allowed your anger, when anger becomes taboo, or when anger becomes this thing that everyone in the family dreads because it only comes out in explosiveness or in destructive, traumatic ways, then you have this kind of binary anger situation that, you know, follows you through life, where you try to repress it as much as you can and only get to express it in ways that are destructive for you and the people around you.
It sounds so reasonable when you put it that way, but then I think about my mom, who really wanted me to go over and say I was sorry, and maybe it's just because I've lived with that all my life, but it seems like the right thing to do.
I don't think it is the right thing to do. I think you really need to talk to a kid about his feelings and let him have his feelings and really help him to understand his feelings. Like, what is he so upset about? What hurt him? What made him so angry? But I don't think it's a good place to go with a kid to just automatically assume he's got to apologize or he's got to forgive, that there isn't some process he needs to go through first. And I think when your mom says to you, come on, we're going straight over there and you're apologizing or you're going to forgive, without really getting a sense of what it is you've gone through or giving you a chance to express it and understand it better yourself, I think she's doing you a disservice.
So I guess the real question is, what's the purpose of the apology? As an adult, in order for an apology to be really effective, it sounds as though, I mean, you have to have something you're trying to accomplish by making that apology, and it has to be something you can fully understand.
Yeah, and I think it has to come from really a desire to atone in some way, to take responsibility. And this is something you really want to do. I'm really on two accounts. On the one side, you realize that you've caused pain, that it's been unwarranted, that you've been unfair in some way, that maybe you've committed some act of betrayal or misunderstanding, or who knows? There's all kinds of ways in which we hurt each other, and it's a natural part of life, and we feel a need to make the other person whole and to let him know, you know, I feel bad at what I did to you, and you shouldn't go on feeling like you deserved it in any way. The other part of it is that we want to make ourselves whole, that we don't want to live with this sense of wrongdoing. We really have a need, a desire to reconnect with the other person in a way that makes the relationship feel whole,
You know, in order to get that really understood, I guess, there is the other half of the equation. I mean, it does take two people. It is not simply enough to apologize. You have to have a response. I don't know whether it's forgiveness or not, but you have to have a response from the person to whom you're apologizing, don't you?
Not necessarily. I think we all want it. I think in most cases we probably deserve it, at least at some point. But we have to respect each other's processes. You know, we had to go through a process in order to arrive at a point where we realize, hey, you know, I really need to apologize in this situation. I may have been hurt too, and I may have my grievances, but, you know, I can see my part. There's something I need to do. It doesn't necessarily mean the other person has arrived at the same place or that what we say is going to bring him to that place. And, of course, you know, we may have done something that was very grievous, or we may have touched a hot spot in him that goes back to early traumas that he hasn't gotten over. Just because we apologize, it doesn't necessarily mean the other person is going to be right there where we would like him to be. Who knows how long it might take before that apology really works its way to the place where he feels, oh, wow, there's something I need to do back, because I want this connection rebuilt as well.
You know, it strikes me that they got to the point where they were able to say they were sorry after a very long time, in much the same way that a boy who has been in a fight on the playground might get to the point of saying, I'm sorry, after a while, in better shape than if his mom dragged him over there and made him.
One of the reasons it becomes harder when your mom drags you is because you get this sense that you have to defend against being bad. You know, oh, I'm bad because I'm not apologizing. I'm bad because of what I've done. And the sense of badness is something that I feel profoundly but also need to defend against. And my pride keeps me from apologizing because it's going to open the door to those bad feelings. And everything becomes heightened and shame becomes more of an issue. And because we in a sense, lord it over our kids with these moralistic demands that really come, I think, more from our own psychological needs and our own inability to tolerate aggression, inability to tolerate, you know, what the other parent is thinking about our kid, all kinds of stuff like that.
Robert Caron is a clinical psychologist and the author of The Forgiving Self, The Road from Resentment to Connection.